Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration.
Welcome once again to Words of Praise with Bible teacher Dr. Donald R. Hubbard. I'm your host, Jeff Apthorpe. Thank you for tuning our way for this quarter hour of Bible study. Our prayer is that God will bless our sharing time together as we search the Scriptures. Please open your Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, as we look at a new section beginning with verse 14. Here's Dr. Hubbard.
We have a very interesting passage in front of us today, because we're going to be studying about the last moments of that mystery man in the New Testament, John the Baptist. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 14, we read, "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we read about a long list of some of God's choice servants. That chapter has frequently been called God's honor roll of heroes. Quite a list is presented, both of those named as well as those unnamed. How wickedly so many of them were treated. Certainly the truth that is enunciated in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 38 is true. The world was not worthy of them. And among God's choicest servants was this man John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus himself bore this testimony to John according to Luke chapter 7 and verse 28. Jesus said, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Who was this man? What did John have to say? What was his ministry? Why was he put in prison? Why would Herod have him beheaded? Well, we're going to be taking an in-depth look at the life of John the Baptist, particularly within the frame of reference of this portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 6. Perhaps we could begin by just reviewing a few of the essential details about the life and ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had stepped onto the scene of God's history with a message that burned into the hearts of his hearers. According to Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, we read, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." You will recall that even as to his very conception, that had been planned by God, who came to his father, Zechariah, and told him that he and Elizabeth would bear a son even in their aged years, and the ministry of that son who would be born would be great, for he would be the preparer for the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One of God. In due time, John was born, and he received the name John the Baptist because he baptized those who were truly repentant. John's message came with a burning intensity, therefore, from his heart to the hearts of his hearers. According to the Gospel of John, written by another man by the name of John, chapter 1, verse 29, it was John the Baptist who pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God. John chapter 1, verse 29, "The next day John," that's John the Baptist, "seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And with that recognition that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, John's ministry began to decline, as he knew it would. In verse 30 of John chapter 1, John the Baptist said, "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." It is to the credit of John that he sent his own disciples after Jesus. In verse 36, John recognized Jesus a second time by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then verse 37 of John's Gospel chapter 1 records, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." To me, that is one of the most tremendous texts of a true servant of the Lord. That when one's disciples or those who look to you for spiritual leadership hear you speak, they follow Jesus. John spoke clearly of the rapid fading of his own ministry. For in John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 30, John said, "He," that is the Lord Jesus, "must increase, and I," that is John the Baptist, "must decrease." This decline would be caused by his arrest and imprisonment. For we read in John chapter 3 and verse 24 that the record says that John was not yet cast into prison. So John the Baptist's ministry was inexorably entwined with the opening part of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. As one reviews all of the material in the Gospels relating to John the Baptist, we cannot help but conclude what a man for God was John the Baptist. Surely he was one man who was faithful to the trust which had been committed to him. He spoke the truth. He stood for the truth. And in the providence of God, he would suffer for the truth. You see, God's truth meant everything to this man, John the Baptist. Let's go back now to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. The scene, which is before us, vividly portrays the final moments of John's life and his martyr's death. Actually, verses 14 to 16 chronologically follow verses 17 to 29. Thus, verses 17 to 29 are really a flashback to explain what had previously happened and why Herod's conscience was so troubled. In other words, what you find in verses 14 to 16 is the confession made by a guilty, conscience-stricken Herod, who confessed the fact that he had had John beheaded. Beginning with verse 17, there is an explanation of the events leading up to the beheading of John the Baptist. So, from verses 17 to 29, well, they are a flashback to explain what had previously happened, the conclusion being in verses 14 to 16. According to the record that we have before us, when the disciples of Jesus went forth, they were given spiritual power. Jesus himself gave them power over unclean spirits. When the disciples went forth, therefore, with this divine enablement from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, reports began to circulate around Galilee of the unusual things that were happening, the miracles that were being performed. Some were physical, you remember, and some were spiritual. Demons were being cast out, that was in the spiritual domain, and the sick were being made well, that was in the physical domain. Well, as these stories began to circulate, and as these miracles were being performed, and when news of this reached Herod, Herod thought that John the Baptist had risen from the dead. Now, I'm struck by this conclusion of Herod's that is recorded for us in Mark chapter 6, verse 14, from several different points of view. Let me read it for you now so that you can have a precise statement as to what John the Baptist actually said. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said, that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Verse 16 records, but when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. Now, why would this be considered so striking? Well, first of all, because Herod belonged to a group called the Sadducees. Herod himself was a Sadducee, and the Sadducees, in our Lord's day, were theological liberals. They were opposed to anything supernatural. Especially were they opposed to the concept of a physical resurrection, and they positively did not believe in it. This was their position, and in this position they most firmly believed. Yet, upon hearing the reports of what was taking place, Herod, himself a Sadducee now, jumped to the immediate conclusion that John had risen from the dead physically and gave testimony to the fact of resurrection. That is a very curious statement that John gave in the light of his Sadducean background. Another striking fact that we observe is that, as far as we know, John the Baptist did not perform any miracles. Yet, Herod attributes the working of these miracles through the disciples as acts worthy of John the Baptist. Again, let's remember that Herod, as a Sadducee, was an anti-supernaturalist. He did not believe in miracles. Yet he immediately credits the miracles that he hears about to the power of John the Baptist. A third interesting fact had to do with Herod's guilt. Herod's guilt evidently was caused by his troubled conscience. He had had John beheaded, and the guilt continued to be felt in his hardened soul. It is interesting that even the most hardened of men may still have strong guilt over some acts which they cause. Thus, after these declarative statements, there is the record of how John the Baptist met his death. It is a sad and it is a tragic record, for certainly the hand of infamy had been extended against John. And in the course of his final moments, there is reflected a life, in the words of Hebrews 11:38, of whom the world was not worthy. John the Baptist was one of God's choice servants, and John the Baptist remained steadfast and faithful to the Word of God even to the very end of his life. In the midst of the crises which you and I face day after day after day, may that be said also of us, that we counted not our lives dear unto death, but knowing the truth, we would live by the truth, and we would speak by the truth. May God help us to do no other than to live for the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would undertake today for each one of us. Help us to know the truth, enable us to live the truth, and Lord, grant unto us courage to speak the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.